You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And finding out that Edward Norton can really play a creep really, really well.
That's weird how that is. Hey, and this movie's got both explosions and car chases.
That is true. It does have both. I was tempted to say explosions and car chases.
And explosions and car chases.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody, to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Hello. Welcome to the late, but better late than never episode of our Takesgiving. Is that what we went with? Or Thanksgiving? I don't remember. But welcome.
November heist movie month.
Yes. Where we're watching heist movies, which will carry over one into December, which is going to be a gift for Ryan because it's his favorite director.
Technically, this one is December also.
Yeah, but well, it's fine.
It's okay.
So this time we watched the 2003 technically remake of the movie The Italian Job, which actually the original, I noticed very briefly, does appear in this movie for like 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he was watching his big screen TV, you see Michael Caine. You're like, hey,
that guy was in The Italian Job.
That guy's in the other one.
Which is surprising that Michael Caine's not in this movie because, I mean,
this is
not
before
like
Michael Caine had his renaissance.
Is that what it is? This is before.
This is that period I talked about, Ryan, where I talked about it yesterday with Muppet Christmas Carol.
Where
I need to rethink my career. And he hasn't done Batman Begins yet.
Mm.
After that, that's when people
feel like
hiring.
If they made this movie in 2013 instead of 2003. Then Michael Caine would have been the Donald Sutherland character.
Probably. Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a little surprised they didn't offer it to him. That seems like it would have.
Who knows? I mean, maybe he turned it down.
Yeah, perhaps. Before we get into the show, though, a couple ways you can reach out to us if you like what you hear and you want to talk to us.
If you don't, but you feel like you should complain about it.
Okay.
Directly to those of us who are doing it.
Right. You could reach out to us by going to our website, stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros art. You'll be taken to a page where you can listen to the podcast right there on the website, all of our old episodes. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, get some new episodes. Also, you can follow us on social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Letterboxd on there, as well as you can follow us individually. For me, Ian, it's at iRich. That's at IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter also, Ryan Roop, RYANRUPPE.
You can also email us. There's a contact us form on there. You can fill out, send us an email, and we'll read it here on the show. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, The Italian Job.
Yeah. This is definitely a movie that was made in 2003. It feels like that early 2000s period. I mean, this was right smack in the middle of let's remake, you know, fun blockbuster type movies from the 60s and early 70s. Because it was after Ocean's 11. It was after...
Yeah, you can tell this movie
Gone in
tries,
60 Seconds.
This movie tries very hard to be Ocean's 11.
It really does.
It really does.
I mean, but Ocean's 11 was kind of in a way like a Die Hard for heist movies in the early 2000s.
Right.
In that after Die Hard was made, a lot of the movies that came out were Die Hard in a bus, Die Hard on a ship.
Right.
And so this is Ocean's 11 with gold bars in LA and also Italy briefly.
Yeah. Well, it's Ocean's 11 with car chases.
Yeah, Ocean's 11 with mini product placement.
Well, I mean, they were in the original, weren't they?
Yeah, but these were the new ones
right
after they
came
out.
But what I'm saying is like, yeah, it was like, what a perfect time. Yeah, like,
I mean, like also money changed hands.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah, look at it. Come on.
No question. I think actually they went so far as to not even refer to it as product placement. They called it like brand integration.
Ah, I see.
Because of how crucial that particular brand of vehicle was to the movie.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about this movie.
Sure. Let's talk about the people who made it. And let's just go there too and we'll start. Directed by F. Gary Gray. You may know him as the director of Friday. Also the director of Straight Outta Compton. Also the director of Fate of the Furious.
All right.
Not the only Fast and Furious connection that you're going to hear.
Oh, okay.
While we're talking about
this. Well, I mean, I guess you're right.
There's other people. But it was written, there's a writing credit to Troy Kennedy Martin, who wrote the original Italian Job, because, you know, he gets some money from that because they used the name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that part's important.
He also said it in the movie.
Right?
For
yeah.
That moment.
Oh, man, I love it. I wish we had been paying attention to it when we do this podcast, because there's a clear divide on the two types of movies. One type of movie in which they say the title of the movie in the movie.
You know, it's funny.
And another type of movie where they don't.
It's almost like
definitely one.
Hold on. We have a person who is our statistician.
Statistician.
Yeah, statistician. And if you're listening to this, please, if you have the time, because you all the time, honestly, no, what it would be a Google search. All you have to do is do a Google search. For and just movie. Say, do they do, in Speed Racer? I mean, they say Speed Racer and Speed Racer. That one's obvious.
I
do they
feel
say
like
The Incredibles?
Actually,
do they say?
I feel there actually
know,
might, like, might be an internet database of this.
Oh, absolutely. I'm surprised it's not a category on IMDb at this point, to be honest.
I love it when movies say the name of the movie in the movie. I think that it just makes me happy.
All right.
But the other two writers are.
The Marvel movies must really bum me out because they never go, it's an Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
or
he does say, I'm Iron Man.
I mean, they say Iron Man 1,000 times. I feel
Avengers.
Like those movies don't count. Like, they never say Captain America, he was the first Avenger.
Nah,
they never
say
that.
The other writers credited on the movie are Donna and Wayne Powers. Mm-hmm. They were sort of a writing team who they wrote Deep Blue Sea.
Mm hmm.
And this is probably their biggest claim to fame, though. Let's be real. And this movie, when it came out, was a surprise hit.
Okay.
Like, they knew it would be, you know, make some money because it's a fun action movie and it has some people in it that you maybe recognize, but it made more money and it was more popular than I think anybody anticipated.
Yeah.
It hit at just the right time.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It was very straightforward, too. Like, this movie, plot-wise, is very straightforward. I was waiting in this plot for the Mission Impossible moment.
Yep.
But that never came.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Where
you know what I mean?
Someone unexpected dies.
Well, no. It's like where Donald, like, in Mission Impossible, spoilers, John Voight dies
where
at the beginning.
Southern comes back.
I figured that was going to be the end. I couldn't remember. I saw this movie once, a long time ago, and I couldn't remember. If, like, does he come back? Is he, like, behind this whole thing, like, to get all the money? And
I feel like Donald Sutherland.
That's why he
did
was like, I was a crappy dad, and so this is my subtle hint of, I know you like my daughter, go with it, but don't forget about this money, or, like, I don't know.
I feel like Donald Sutherland did it because he's like, oh, I got a free trip to Venice out of this movie?
Yeah, nice. All right. Sure.
Why not?
I get to go scuba diving?
Cool.
Neat.
And the Alps, French Alps?
Wow. Fun.
Yeah.
What a good time.
There we go. Yeah. Top billed cast, Donald Sutherland.
In this movie. He's top billed.
He is in the movie right at the beginning. And that's it.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, he dies.
Yes.
20 minutes in.
he's there for exposition and for the rest of the movie to happen.
He's fridged so that I mean, at least it's not. I mean, they only had the one lady, so they couldn't kill her at the beginning.
I feel like this is the... Okay, we'll talk more of the plot when we get there. I had a plot thought.
All right, so we got...
That should be a new section of the show. Plot thoughts.
We got Marky Mark, a.k.a. Mark Wahlberg. This is before he became the huge star that he is now.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he was still famous. He'd been Marky Mark for a long time.
I mean, he'd
made
been in,
action movies
he'd been
before
Boogie
then.
Nights. That was probably
yeah. Actually, apparently, Boogie Nights was the calling card that got him this movie. The director and the casting was like, "Well,
so
we like
many,
to do Boogie Nights. Let's."
So many jokes.
I know.
To mind.
I know. It's real easy.
It's fake. Anyway, let's continue.
I've seen it. Really? Yeah. No, I mean, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron is in this movie. This is also sort of before she was a huge star when she was just still like this is the same year also that she was in Monster.
And probably was she in Arrested? No, she wasn't in Arrested Development at this point yet.
I don't think yet.
Not yet.
She has also wound up in the Fast and Furious movies.
So this is right before. That's true. She has. This is like right before she really because Monster was like her big like. Hey, maybe this lady can really, really.
Yeah,
act.
Yeah. Like not just a pretty face. Maybe actually has some skill.
But she's done a lot of action movies. She's in Prometheus. She's in.
But she had
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta watch all those at some point again. That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun. but before
didn't
that,
did we watch the Road Warrior? We watched Road Warrior.
We did. We need to get.
We just
got to
do the other three.
Mad Max. Film debut is Children of the Corn 3, Irvin Harvest, in which she is uncredited.
Oh,
in 1995.
It's okay. Somebody pointed out the other day that Kristen Stewart was in a DCOM. Sorry, Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, really?
She was in a background part in the 13th year. Also,
Charlize Theron is in That Thing You Do?
Yes.
Really?
She plays his girlfriend.
Oh,
the
you're right.
The drummer girl who's like
does.
Crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's one of my favorite movies. Why did I forget about that? Yeah. Every time I go by the orange circle, which is right there, I always talk about it. I'm like, hey, did you see that toy store there? Yeah. You ever see that movie, That Thing You Do? Yeah. That was the store.
We also
great. Thanks.
Jason Statham.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember. I think he had made the first Transporter movie at this point. Yeah. He'd made the first Transporter movie, right. And then he'd been in Snatch.
Yeah.
And really, that's what it was, those
and
two movies.
And Two Smoking
Barrels. Yeah, and Lock, Stock. And it was those two movies that everybody knew him from.
Yeah.
At least everybody in the United States at this point. But this was.
What happened to Vinny Jones? He's still around? Did he die? I feel like
I feel like he's around. Oh, did you know that Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels was his film debut?
Really?
I did not know that. And Snatch was his second movie that he made.
Really?
All right. So this was like right after that.
He was a midfielder?
Yeah. Oh, he was definitely a soccer player. No question.
I know,
he plays handsome
for Wimbledon,
Rob.
Leeds United, Sheffield United, Chelsea, and Wales. Wow, he did. He did play for some soccer teams.
Speaking of people you know from other things, Seth Green.
Yes.
Seth
we
Green
need a funny
is in this.
Person.
Just Seth Green it up.
Yep, we need a funny guy.
Yeah, we need a funny guy, and he's also going to be the computer guy.
After Austin Powers, that was kind of his...
Yeah.
I mean, he did a lot of things after that, but like that was his kind of one, I don't know, not breakout, I will say, but like that's the first time I remember seeing him in anything.
But he was in a ton of like teen comedies.
Oh, yeah,
like.
I remember Idle Hands and stuff. I remember, I watched all those. That was the right target demographic for that.
Oh, yeah,
that
you were totally
period.
A Seth Green fanboy.
Oh, yeah.
You?
I still, you know what, I actually got to say, first of all, two things. Number one. I like Seth Green. I like how he's kind of grown into his own and being like, yeah, I'm a nerdy director. Like Robot Chicken is like his thing. And like, that's a big deal. Like, even though they have Family Guy bits, you don't watch Family Guy, but they have the back and forth on Family Guy where
he's
like, no,
there's a voice on Family Guy.
I know, but on Chris is like, I think Robot Chicken's a fine program. Peter's like, nah, I just don't get it. Like, I think it's dumb, stupid. There's a nice back and forth. But not only that, but I saw Seth Green in person one time.
Oh, wow.
I didn't say anything.
Did you touch him?
No, he was there. He was with his wife, who, by the way, he met his wife at Comic-Con.
Nice.
His wife's a very pretty lady. Have you ever seen Seth Green's wife?
No.
Pretty. You'd be like, wow.
All right.
That guy?
Well, hey, so he's funny. Makes her laugh.
He is. And she's like, he's a little fella.
Yeah.
He's even shorter than me. Kind of and I'm short. Thing. And she's like really tall. I was out Comic-Con standing in an aisle. It was on like a preview night. I look over my shoulder and they both have these giant like bags from the toy booth. And they're like trying to figure out where to go next. And I look over at him and I'm like, oh, it's Seth Green. He looks over at me. He's that look of like, please, dude, don't. Not right now. And I was like, okay. And I didn't take a picture.
Nice.
Didn't say anything. Didn't acknowledge. Went, I was like, I just want to make sure it was you. And then I know it's you. Have a good night.
Seth Green leads to one of the weirder cameos in a movie in that he insists, his character insists that he invented Napster. Those of you who are listening who are younger than Ian and I, Napster was a file sharing service that is kind of the first thing that anybody used to get MP3s from.
Right.
And so
that's
it got
Seth
shut
Green
down.
And his wife.
Oh yeah, she's much taller than he is.
Yes.
They
met at Comic-Con, a couple of nerds. She,
but
she's a cosplayer.
But so his character insisted he invented Napster, and so they had the actual inventor of Napster in the movie as a cameo as himself. Sean Fanning, the inventor of Napster.
Oh boy.
Remember when he was like a whole big deal?
Remember when Napster was a big deal?
Yeah, it's great because they also have a Metallica poster in the scene where Sean Fanning shows up. Nice. Metallica famously hated and sued Napster.
Yes.
Let's
be honest. Lars famously hated and sued
fair.
Napster.
Speaking of musicians, Mos Def is in this movie.
It's still around. It's still us.napster.com.
Sure.
Still real. Still there.
Yeah, no, it's a streaming service now.
It is.
I think it's owned by Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. But Mos Def is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He goes now by Yasin Bey, but at that point he was credited as Mos Def.
Does he really? When did that change?
Like before he was on, Dexter.
Really?
It's been a while. Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, he's good. I
know
always...
I'm gonna sound really dumb and culturally insensitive, but was there a reason for that? Is it like Muhammad Ali?
No, I don't think so. I think I mean, I'm sure there was a reason for that.
Yeah.
But I haven't read
okay.
any interviews
with
him
that
explains
sure.
it.
Okay, that's fine.
But I really like Mos Def in movies as an actor, and a lot of people don't because he sort of mumbles and is sort of, but that's like what this character is, and that's what a lot of characters he ends up playing are.
Again, a lot of these are just allegories to what we saw in it's funny because they're just different versions of the things that we saw
in Ocean's,
Ocean's 11.
Like, oh, we need a guy who's a demolitions expert, let's get a black guy.
Oh, just like they had Don Cheadle.
Yep.
Right. And oh, we need a funny guy to be like the tech guy. We had like Casey Affleck and that other dude who's kind of okay.
We got a budget. Let's get Seth Green.
Great. And then we need kind of a suave guy. We also need a kind of a driver type guy. But we don't want him to be like Brad Pitt too much.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. We'll get that transporter guy. He's driver.
Yeah,
he likes
good,
to drive
right?
things.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go.
And then we need a girl who can like punch stuff.
Yeah. Who looks kind of tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Funny story. So Edward Norton is in this movie.
Yes, he is.
So the story behind Edward Norton being in this movie is that when he made Cape Fear, I think, is it Cape Fear? What's Edward Norton's like breakout role? It was something.
Fight Club?
No, it was pre-Fight Club. I'm just pulling up IMDb right now.
It's not Cape Fear. Cape Fear is
Primal Fear.
Okay, that's different.
When he made Primal Fear. Sorry, it has the word fear in it.
Yeah.
Primal Fear was like his first breakout movie. And when he made that movie, he signed a 3-picture deal with Paramount. And then he became much more popular and started doing sort of what he wanted to do. And Paramount kept saying, hey, remember how you owe us 2 more movies?
What are they, the 2 movies you ended up doing? This one.
This is one of them.
And what was the other one?
I don't know.
Okay.
But we just have to look for Paramount movies produced in the early 2000s with him in it that he clearly doesn't like.
Yeah, because I mean, after that, he'd done stuff like American History X and Fight Club. I forgot about American History X. That was before Fight
Death
Club.
Death to Smoochie. Let us not forget that incredible film.
Oh, boy.
The movie's actually great.
It is. It was not what I expected it to be.
But Ed Norton plays the bad guy in this movie.
Yes.
And apparently, he not only played the bad guy in the movie, but on set, he was very clearly unhappy.
Ed Norton notoriously is a nightmare to work with.
But he was also very clearly unhappy for being basically forced to do this movie for contractual obligations.
Sure.
And so he made everybody's life a living hell.
I wouldn't doubt it.
The story is that the director after the movie was much more successful than they intended it to be, or than they thought it would be. The director bought everybody gifts and sent it to them, and he returned his gift and said, give it to someone who wants to work with you again.
There's a reason he wasn't asked back for the Hulk, guys.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Besides
but
that...
But I like him as an actor. I just hear he's a terrible person to work with.
Yeah, I just hear he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Besides that, there are a couple of... They're not cameos because these people weren't famous at the time.
No, but now they are.
But one of them is the voice of Baymax and Pete from 30 Rock, Scott Adsit, is in one scene as an actor rehearsing in a car, and he's funny.
Yes.
Because he's such a funny dude.
Yes.
Oh man, that's a good short tiny bit.
Hey, is that Scott Adsit? Yep. Oh, cool, neat. That's what I like about watching these early 2000s movies. People I know now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, they got that bit part.
The other one that was my favorite was the security guard.
Yes.
At Ed Norton's house.
Oscar Nunez.
Yeah.
Oscar from the Office. Who I have also seen in person. He likes comics. He went to Meltdown one time, and I was there. I was like, hey, it's Oscar.
I didn't say anything
to him, but again, I'm pretty. When it comes to like famous people, like I have a pretty good vibe of if they don't want to be bothered or not. Like I've seen a lot of them before. Like when I saw Brian Lee O'Malley also there, I looked at him wearing my Scott Pilgrim shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, why can't I put my finger on who you are? Like my brain just exploded, and I was like, oh. And when he saw the look of in my eyes of like I recognize who he is, and I realized I was wearing my Scott Pilgrim shirt, he looked at me and I went, yeah, I'm not gonna.
Didn't bug him.
Oh no, I walked away. I was like, no. He was there for some sort of like YouTube video where they were doing an interview with him about comics or something, and he very.
Well, it's not like
he wasn't
gonna be recognized at a comic book store in LA.
No. But nobody else came up to him and said anything. Oh. So, but I was.
He just
like,
wanted to be left alone.
I just was like, did I work with you or go to high school with you?
It was
you
one of those
familiar.
Like I recognize you, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Why. Oh, you're a famous.
You just look
person.
Like a normal guy. I'm like, oh, you're Brian Lee O'Malley. You're
I
the guy
you
who
on
made
Instagram.
All this stuff. I've seen your face multiple times.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's basically the cast.
Yeah, it's basically it.
Yeah. So several of those people have been in Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
Specifically, Charlize Theron.
Yes.
She's been in a couple now. A couple. I still haven't
seen
F8.
No, just the one.
She's not in F8?
She's not in any
of the early ones.
Yeah, she's a bad guy.
Quote unquote. And then obviously Jason Statham has showed up in several now.
Two.
Well, he was in...
He wasn't in the sixth one because his brother was. In the sixth, everyone's like, I'm going to get revenge on all these guys.
And retroactively, he was in the third one, but we don't ever see him in the third
one. Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
You'll see why I keep bringing that up. But yeah, so this movie, so The Italian Job, it's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah.
There's almost no question from the beginning which of the members of the team is the guy who's going to betray everybody. It's the one guy who doesn't have any plans for the money.
It's the guy, no.
It's as transparent as possible.
It's even more obvious than that. It's the dude with the facial hair and the mustache.
But everybody has facial hair. Donald Sutherland does.
Yeah, but he's got like a full-on beard and he looks like an old dignified man.
Sure.
But he's got like... There's no other way to say it. He's got the D-bag mustache. He's got the little sketchy. Like
he might
as well have just done this with his mustache.
Just twisted it up. This was 2003.
Like,
Nobody did that.
Like snidely whiplash, because that's exactly what he looked like. Like, I'm like, oh, that guy. Yeah, Ed Norton's totally going to betray everybody. I'm like, oh, I wonder who's... For a second, I thought, I wonder who's going to betray everybody. And then I saw Ed Norton. I'm like, there he is.
There he is.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's also Ed Norton. He's kind of a scumbag. Like, he can play a scumbag. All right. All right. Let's do this. And so this... Okay, here's the thing about this movie.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11, I feel like now I have a little... Even after this movie, I have even a little more respect for. Because Ocean's 11 assumes the audience is smart.
Yep.
And assumes that we have presented everything for you. Your job is to figure it out. And if you don't, at the very end, you can turn the paper upside down and find the answers.
I like the way you put that.
This one gives you the answers while the movie is going.
Oh, yeah.
It's
like, well, you know, let's just spell it out for you just in case.
The only thing they didn't give away, which is the very, very end, and they didn't directly give it away at the very, very end, is that the Russian mob or the Ukrainian mob or whatever it is comes and gets Ed Norton. They didn't really ever hint to that other than
the only thing the only secret was that we don't know that Marky Mark has talked to the Ukrainians.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
I'm assuming that's what the dude who modded all the cars.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that was his bit, is like to do this and then maybe make sure these guys get there on time.
Yeah.
But like everything else is so clearly laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a moment where they talk about, oh, we can't do the plan anymore because he knows about everything.
Oh yeah, let's scrub the mission.
Like, oh, but how are we going to know where his car, like for a smarter audience, if they considered their audience would be smarter, they wouldn't have to do the point where he goes, oh, we can control traffic however we want, remember? Because we got the traffic thing he did. They would just go, how can we control his route? And they look over at Seth Green and they're like, oh, like they don't say it. Yeah. Just, oh, that's right. He can control traffic. So Nope.
Yeah, this one they just want to make sure.
Yeah, and I half expected the cars not to have the gold in it. I was like, come on, don't have the gold in there. And then they pull the cars in, and I'm like, oh, it's in there. I'm like, okay, when's the switch going to come? And it's like, hey, you followed us. Nice. Great. Hey, these are the guys that are mad at you. Like, that's how it, I'm like, really? Come on, guys. Like,
we can make a deal. We have already made a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. There are moments in this movie that make me frustrated.
Why? Like what?
They're just
what
so, I guess it's just like, for me, it makes me realize how much smarter Ocean's 11 is, or at least how much smarter Steven Soderbergh thinks his audience is versus this.
I had a friend recently who saw Logan Lucky and said it was quite good.
Okay. All right. I'm interested. I was already interested anyway, but now I'm very interested. What was the movie we watched last time? I can't remember what we watched. Was it the highest movie we watched? Oh, now you see it. Like, yeah, same problem there. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to spell everything out for you.
Or now you see it just spelled nothing out.
Well, no, I think it spilled after every single trick. It was like, hey, guess what? If you didn't know, it didn't let us put things together or try to figure out how all this was connected. It literally showed us everything, and I figured it out midway through to where, I mean, Ocean's 11 actually surprised me.
Yep.
I was like, oh, this is really smart. Like, oh, that's really smart how they did that. Like, I have more of an appreciation for that movie having watched these last two movies.
Oh, interesting.
Luckily, the next movie, I'll be honest with you, doesn't have really like a heist. Has a heist element, but doesn't have like a figure out what happened element. It's more of a character story.
Gotcha.
But it's good. It's good. You'll like it. So yeah, I don't know. I guess it just made me frustrated because I was like, I feel like in a heist movie, the key to a good heist movie, what I've learned, is to have some sort of double cross or a thing that we didn't think about.
Mm-hmm.
The
closest thing we get that besides
even Ant-Man has that.
Yeah. Besides
Ant-Man
the
has
opening
the point where
scene.
He falls in where the suit is and they close the thing off. He's like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, and the bad guy got him. It's like, oh, that's I didn't expect that to come. I thought they were going to get away with it. Nope.
The closest we get to that is, the party next door is having the house next door is having a party. And so we can't do it today. And then the guy knows that it's us and he's moving the gold.
Yeah.
So we have to redo the plan.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably intended to be the surprise.
Right.
But it's too big.
Actually,
it's too big of an event.
The most surprising thing is when they blow a hole in the ground and then a guy covers it up with a sign. Like, oh, don't worry. You can drive over the metal grating. It's fine. Like, that's the most surprising moment.
Just that they would go that far.
Just that they're like, oh, like, well, I mean, they already blew a giant hole in the ground, but they're like, oh, we have to make it look covered up in five seconds.
Yeah. Well, because the whole point is it's in a place where the helicopter wouldn't be able to see super good.
Now
his truck disappears.
Right.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's clever. You know, it probably was a little bit transgressive for 2003 because people were like, oh, bombs going off in L.A.
Yeah.
Know?
The Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. Right, right.
Which is a big deal that they actually shot on Hollywood Boulevard.
Why did they do it on, out of all the places to pick, why Hollywood Boulevard?
I don't know, because they paid a lot for the LA filming permits.
Very clearly they did. It's funny. I saw a Curb Your Enthusiasm poster or billboard. I was like, hey, look at that. Like that show I'm just enjoying now is very old.
Yeah.
So I will say this, though. What this movie has over Ocean's 11 is there are some fantastic chase sequences in this movie.
This movie has car chases.
Ocean's 11 did not really have any fantastical chase sequences. There's boat chases. And technically you could also argue there's a helicopter as well.
Yeah. And so I was in the boat chase in Venice. There is technically speed limits.
By the way, the MacGuffin is the gold. Let's keep going.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get there.
Who cares? The MacGuffin is the gold.
I mean, it's the most transparent MacGuffin.
Or the look on Ed Norton's face, depending on which character you're looking at.
But ultimately, it's the gold. It's due to the gold that he would have a look.
Look on his face.
Yeah, you're right. The themes are, I mean, you can almost say that they were going for like a theme of like fatherhood or but they don't.
No.
They don't really ever get there.
The theme is there's one girl in the movie. Let's guess who that girl he's going to hold on to is.
Yeah.
Let's figure that one out. Let's figure that brain teaser. Is it going to be the girl that works for the cable company or the one that pulls over Jason Statham when he's driving his Aston Martin Vanquish? By the way, I don't how they do that, because wasn't Mini owned by BMW? Who's Aston Martin owned by?
Aston Martin actually may have been owned by BMW. Also at that point.
I see. That would make sense.
Yeah, the person who pulls him over was Jason Statham's real-life girlfriend at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
But there's also, I mean, there's, what were we talking about? We were talking about the
themes.
The themes. There's another theme. I don't know, it's a theme. It's a payoff. There's a payoff. We see Donald Sutherland crack the safe, doing it old-fashioned way, just with his fingertips, right? And he writes it with a grease pencil on the safe itself. And then we see that Charlize Theron, she's like her dad. She cracks safes, but she does it using technology.
Oh.
And then we get to the point where technology has failed her and she must go back to her roots and do it the way her dad taught her.
She must be like her father. She must fulfill her debt.
But it's like a single payoff and it's like, well, all right. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind at all
that she's gonna
when
do
that
it.
Scene starts that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, there's no realistic tension in that scene. They're trying for tension. She tries and fails a couple of times, but you're like, yeah, like it's what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Those two motorcycle guys will show up. They'll get mowed down by machine guns, and that's it. apparently, there's a whole subplot cut out of the car chase sequence, but let's talk about the car chase sequence.
Okay.
So we're boat chase sequence first.
Yeah.
There's a boat chase.
You
in
know what?
Venice.
I will say this. That's a pretty clever plot that they had.
Yeah.
To basically create an explosion.
Yeah, have a decoy.
And have a decoy boat drive away
while
the actual gold's underwater and they're pulling it
and
out
they
of the
float
safe.
It out.
It's pretty clever.
Yeah,
it's a clever
good.
Idea. And it provides a pretty good boat chase, which you don't see a lot of boat chases in movies.
Yeah, I guess they had to like get special permission from the Venetian authorities.
No, really?
To get the boats to go fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not very smart.
Yeah, it's probably not great for the buildings.
No, probably not great for the buildings.
Buildings.
Yeah, not. I'm sure making all those wakes is probably not good. No. Probably also not good for traffic
but
in the Venetian Channel.
In the name
streets.
Of films.
Yeah.
Yeah. and it's a, you know, it's a...
It's fine. It's got a couple parts where a boat flies into a fruit barge and gets stuck on a raft.
I mean, you got to have some chase scene where some vehicle goes through a fruit cart.
Yeah, of some kind.
You know, of some kind. Fruit has to get demolished.
Yeah.
It is
law.
Fruit is the law
fruit
of
is the
chase
ultimate
scenes.
Enemy in every chase scene. Scene. Yeah.
And it definitely happens in this.
Yes, exactly.
And then the car chase scene starts in the subways under L.A.
Yes.
Which they
now
had
are
to...
Now functional.
Well, no, they were functional. I used to take the red line.
Oh, really?
But they... Funny story, they were not allowed to drive gas-powered vehicles in there.
Oh, also,
and they
too,
did
we forgot
shoot
about
on location, so they had to make an electric Mini.
We did forget about that one part where they test the Minis out in the river.
Oh,
the
yeah. River that's an...
Man, when they go down that like really steep hill, I was like, ooh, cars aren't supposed to do that.
What I like is the testing the Mini in the warehouse where they built the fake version of the house.
Right.
I thought that was cool. It was a clever bit.
Yeah.
There's another movie where they do that. a Fast and Furious movie. They do almost the identical scene where everybody is testing to see who can get around the course the fastest without clipping stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Fast Five, which was originally the Brazilian Job.
Oh.
I'm serious. There was a script written for a sequel to this movie called The Brazilian Job, and they sat on it for a long time, and then when they decided to keep making Fast and Furious movies, they're like, hey, we got this script. Let's just change all the characters.
Oh, no.
And think about it. You've got Seth Green's character is Ludacris.
Yeah.
You have Charlize Theron's character. That would be Gal Gadot. No. You've got it's an easy match. It's not perfect.
Perfect, because you had to add the Fast and Furious characters in, but there's pretty much a good match for every single person.
Yeah.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense.
And just thinking about the plot of that movie where they're stealing a huge thing, they use a decoy.
Yeah.
It is really...
It's pretty close.
Fast Five is a sequel to Italian Job.
It really is. It kind of is, actually.
Which is kind of funny because I've always thought that Fast Five was my favorite one.
It still can be.
Yeah, no, but it's weird because it's not... Now it's a sequel to two different movies.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it has that exact sequence. It has several other sequences that are directly related to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It also only has at least has two women in it, which this movie only has one. And she never talks to any other women that have names.
That's also accurate.
So it definitely does not pass the Bechdel test. But at least it's got one lady in it.
It does.
At least there's that.
So the car chase at the end is pretty good. I like the part where he faces off against the helicopter. That's pretty
good. Yeah, the face-off against the helicopter is pretty good, except that cars are much less fragile than helicopters.
Yeah.
I like that that's what took down the helicopter. The helicopter's like, I'm going to get you with this blade. And he's like, huh, you hit my car. And the helicopter's like, oh, now I can't fly.
I mean, it needs the blade to fly.
Yeah, it's kind of an important component.
I would argue it's the most important component to a helicopter.
I always watch movies with helicopters in them, and where the character is not piloting the helicopter,
right.
I'm always like, what helicopter pilot would actually do that? They're like, oh, how much are you paying me? No, I'm not gonna break a helicopter. I'm not gonna fly under and over. You're not paying me enough. Unless he's like literally throwing gold at the pilot while it's happening. You gotta be like, look, I'm gonna lose my pilot's license over this. No. You know, this is my entire lifeblood. I'm not gonna do this one thing for you just because you're gonna give me an extra $1,000.
Right.
But I mean, that's definitely not the only moment in which this movie is unrealistic.
Oh yeah. No. It's pretty, honestly, it's a pretty straightforward action movie and there's not much to it.
So like, there was a subplot that got cut out. It was a minor one. The subplot was because you noticed in the car chase where they're driving through the sewer and the motorcycles behind them and they're shooting. The motorcycles are shooting at the white car that has Mos Def and Jason Statham in it. In this cutout subplot, Jason Statham gets shot.
Okay.
And he gets shot in his right arm so he can't drive stick. And so Mos Def has to shift for him while he's driving.
But he can't hear out of his left ear.
Right. And it was just a comedy bit. And it's
a good bit.
It explains like some of the stuff that happens, but they ended up cutting it out probably just to make the movie a little shorter.
Yeah.
Under 2 hours.
They already did that anyway when they had the ending sequences play over the credits that wrap up the story and what happened to the characters. Like, they play it over the credits in a little side window.
Well,
so if you're movie's over, credits, see ya. Like,
well, I mean,
you would have missed that.
At the same time, like, that's done now. That's how movies end now in
2017. Yeah, but no, not like that. Not like where it's a little side. That was like the Pixar thing that they started doing, the bloopers, where they put those on the side. Nowadays, if they were going to do something like that, first of all, nowadays they just have it in the movie and call it a day.
Or they do the, like, flat, you know, do a couple of screens of credits and then...
Yeah.
Scene and then the rest of the credits. Yeah.
Well, that's why they have those credits now that like look like really fancy and animated. Like Marvel does that a lot to get to the mid-credit sequence, so they know people don't leave. They're like, hey, still visually look at it.
The names of the people who served us.
Wait. Like,
But I thought that would have been a fun subplot. But there's something else to consider. It's funny looking at movies and looking at all the external factors about movies. So this was a relatively low budget movie. It still had a decent amount of budget. They shot in LA. They got some significant product placement. But this is the kind of movie where Paramount is like, hey, we're going to make more money the more times this gets shown. So keep it under 2 hours.
Yeah.
That way we can have quicker turnaround in the theaters. We can show it more frequently and make more money. This movie is an hour and 51 minutes. So I guarantee you there was a point where they're editing this movie. They're like, all right, we got to cut 15 minutes. You know, they had to get to a point where they said, this is not a big blockbuster. This is a movie that, you know, we want people to go see because it's fun. And movies are a relatively cheap form of entertainment. Let's make sure we can show this a certain number of times on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why there's some stuff like that got cut out. But I mean, you can see there's at one point there's a shot of them driving through the sewer and Jason Statham is only driving with one arm.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Were you aware, Ryan, that this motion picture was also made into a theme park amusement attraction?
I was, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, funny story about that. They licensed the Mini design for the Cars.
So there was we should start by saying there was a roller coaster at several of the old Paramount parks, which are now owned by Cedar Fair. I'm a theme park nerd.
No way.
They're now owned by Cedar Fair.
Uh-huh.
Paramount had like a series of theme parks and a lot of I actually went to a Paramount theme park when it was still a Paramount theme park. I went to the one in Northern California. I think it's Paramount Great Adventure. I think it is. I went on the Top Gun themed roller coaster.
Ooh.
And there's a lot of likes, and there was a lot of like
movie
themed
stuff. Is it called The Danger Zone? The Ride to the Danger Zone?
No, it's just called Top Gun.
Come on.
But
Did they play the song?
They had the Italian Job Stunt Track or the Italian Job Turbo Coaster, which were located respectively at moved around a little bit. Canada's Wonderland, King's Dominion, and King's Island. It's now still in operation, known as the Backlot Stunt Coaster, because when Cedar Fair bought all that, they just kept the rides and slapped other names on them.
Yeah, they had one, I think, for a period of time at the...
Actually, all three of them they're all the same ride in three different areas. I'm sorry. So as far as I know, they're all still operating. So you could ride these rides if you are near the areas of Canada's Wonderland, King's Dominion, or King's Island.
But at some point, Minnie actually sued the theme parks because they were no longer getting royalties for the designs of their cars.
Uh-oh.
And theme parks had to slightly change the designs of the cars so that they were not obviously Minis.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks like a pretty little roller coaster. I did have some.
It's like a four seater roller coaster.
So yeah, essentially, let me see if they actually name the type of design on it.
They've got a good little four seater roller coaster at, Legoland that we go to.
Let me see here. It is technically it's a launch roller coaster.
Oh, okay.
So it launches you through.
As opposed to a chain climb.
Yep. Their special effects were incorporated throughout the ride to reproduce the scenes, including a helicopter that fires a simulated machine gun at riders, a pyrotechnic display, and a simulated splashdown water effect featured on the ride's final drop. Some of the effects were removed in later years following the removal of the Italian Job theme.
Oh.
But yeah, they had a roller coaster.
Yep. Man, that's...
The Paramount parks are like this weird, it's weird. Like if you look into it, it's really weird. They had like a lot of weird movie themed attractions, but it wasn't like, they weren't like movie themed attractions like you know, like at Universal Studios or like Star Tours or Indiana Jones, where there's a lot of theme. It was just like, yeah, it's a roller coaster, it's Top Gun, go on it. It's just really weird. Hey, we built a water park in this area. It's Australian themed, it's Crocodile Dundee, there you go.
Yep.
It's really just like, yeah, we slap some stuff on there.
What property do we have that we could that we could yes. incorporate in this off the shelf roller coaster?
That is exactly what happened.
It was a money making venture, Ian.
Absolutely.
It was it was not someone's lifelong vision.
No, absolutely not. And it's funny because I had an experience like this myself at Six Flags Magic Mountain where a short time they had a Terminator Salvation roller coaster.
That's right.
And then now there's just called, I don't even know if it's still open. Is it called
The Revolution?
It's called Apocalypse.
Oh, jeez.
But they had like video sequences where they were like, oh my gosh, we're hiding out from the Terminators at Six Flags Magic Mountain. Look at all the coasters. And they had like Common, was it their video of Common who was in the movie?
Wow.
In the ride, they had like a whole story.
Which
they
Terminator
produced.
Movie? Terminator Genesis?
No, Salvation. Remember that one with Christian Bale?
I try not to remember.
That one actually was kind of entertaining.
I haven't seen
the first two Terminator movies are still the only ones you need to recognize.
Yeah, I've actually never seen past two.
Oh man, you need to watch. There's one great part in Terminator 3, which is where they show the colonel that they based the T 1000 off of.
Oh boy,
and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Uh-huh. He's in there.
The T-800, you mean?
Yeah, the T-800. I'm sorry, the T-1000, T-800 off of, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's in there. But I think someone else dubbed his voice. He has like this Southern accent, but it's Arnold Schwarzenegger's mouth moving. And it's like this promotional video for the exoskeleton but it's him talking. It's so weird.
Unless Arnold Schwarzenegger can do a convincing Southern accent.
I don't think he could. I'll show you the clip after we're done with the show. Right. It's wacky.
I
want to
live in a world where Arnold Schwarzenegger can do a convincing Southern accent. So we should probably finish talking about this movie.
But yeah, it had an amazing theme park ride.
So yeah, I mean the movie, it's fun. It's still a fun movie. It's a good popcorner.
You know what? Honestly, I put it on. It's a good popcorn movie. You can have it playing in the background doing some other stuff.
It is entirely unsurprising, but it's still fun to watch. You know, and Seth Green's got some jokes in it, and you know some of them land, but it honestly feels like one of the most dated movies that I've watched recently. Like
I think
everybody
so
has flip phones.
Yeah.
Technology
they won't
is,
shut up about Napster.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because even the fashion just feels sort of because we're not far enough we're only 14 years away from that. So the fashion just feels sort of like what dads wear.
Yeah.
It's not like egregiously uncool and embarrassing the way things that are about 5 years older than this are.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like it looks like Marky Mark shops at Costco.
Yeah.
You know, even though some of his outfits were furnished by Giorgio Armani, it's like the Kirkland collection.
Yeah.
It's really how the fashion works in this movie, which is, it's pretty entertaining to me
I
to see something like that. And if you think about the cycles of fashion, that's basically how it works. Something is really popular, but hard to find. And eventually it becomes more popular and easy to find, and then it's not cool anymore. And then it's at Costco, and then your dad wears it. So nobody's got skinny jeans in this movie, put it that way.
Soon
we'll see movies where everybody has skinny jeans and be like, oh man, it's just like all the dads that I know wearing skinny jeans.
So
I know several dads, a lot of dads who wear skinny jeans.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm the odd one out because I do buy my jeans at Costco, and so they're not skinny.
All right. Ryan, what do you rate this movie out of 10?
I'm gonna give it better than a 5. I think it's more than a 5, but not a lot more. I'm gonna give it like a 5.5. Although part of me wants to give it a 4.5 because it's kind of Fast and Furious 4.5, in the sense that it's the prequel to Fast and Furious 5. And in fact, that's what I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it a 4.5.
You said you were gonna give it more than 5.
I changed my mind.
All right. Oh, I'll give it a 6. It's fine. That's usually what I give for movies, and I'm like, it's fine.
No, I just...
I didn't hate myself watching it.
No, I didn't hate the movie.
I'm smarter than this movie.
Yeah, I don't...
I feel like Ron Swanson walking through Lowe's.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to watch this action movie?
I know more than you.
That's it.
But it's fun. I would say it's a blockbuster.
All right, yeah, I'd say so. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Hey, here's the thing. At the very least, it's a nice study to watch Ocean's 11 and then watch this and see this movie
we should have watched this one first would have been
I like it the other way around because I like it. It's like, here's an example of something good, here's an example of something that panders. It's kind of like how I felt about Batman versus Superman and Civil War. It's like, here's how you do a movie with a bunch of different superheroes in it
and where you're they introducing fight new and ones, they don't like each other,
and here's how you don't do that. And it was two of the same. And that's why when I watched Civil War, I was like, please don't be Batman versus Superman. Please just prove this that can be done well. And they did. Speaking of which, now that we're done with that, so that is the Italian Job. But
yeah,
now we move into the
Back at the Ranch.
The Back at the Ranch section of our show. Ryan, that Infinity War trailer, though.
Yeah, man. It looks like they got every toy. Every toy is going to be there. All the toys.
All the toys are in there.
And I have Captain Marvel's not in the trailer,
but she's in there.
But she is in the movie,
I guess.
Is what I've heard. So, they just got everybody.
They did. They got everybody.
Just every person.
Yeah.
I hope that every single person who's, I hope that they have a Maria Hill cameo.
Probably.
Everybody gets in there.
Well, I mean, there's one more before they quit with this whole phase system.
Sure. And then
they're
never going to stop making Avengers movies.
Well, they're not. Here's the thing. They're never going to stop making Marvel movies.
Yeah, there you go.
Are linked in with this.
MCU movies will never die.
No.
Just like Star Wars movies are never going to stop.
Ryan, odds are you and I will die
before we've seen every Star Wars movie. Yeah. No, I mean, it's guaranteed.
Unless they choose to reboot Star Wars for sure. Unless they choose to reboot the MCU, we will not have seen every single one, which I don't know if they will. Who knows? Windows. There's so many characters, so many things they're gonna do. They just keep hinting like, yeah, we're gonna go away from Earth for a while.
Yeah, they're gonna have some fun with that.
Me, it's just like, come on, man, Fantastic Four is right there. Just get those rights back.
Hey, speaking of going away from Earth, get them rights back. You seen the trailer for Wrinkle in Time?
Yes,
the new full trailer.
Yeah, yes. I'm a fan of that book, and everyone else in this house that I talk to, like Matt's like, what do you know? What is this? And I'm just like, you read that book? He's like, no. I'm like, I read it in sixth grade. It tripped me out.
I love that book.
I hated my sixth grade English teacher, but it was the one good thing she did for me was make us read that book.
It's a good
because it was
good,
way high concept for a sixth grader to read.
Yeah,
it has a lot of like time
it's
travel.
It's got a very
elements.
Heady concepts in it.
Yeah, and it's like a lot of like science fiction, but they don't really
movie.
Explain it very
it's a,
clearly.
It's a book that like definitely within the first couple of chapters, they explain what a Tesseract is.
Yeah, essentially, yes. It's weird.
That's why I learned that word is in that book. And I remember asking my mom, how do you pronounce this? And she's like, that's not a real word. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it's a real word. I just need a bigger dictionary.
Yes.
Tesseract is a fold in time and space.
Yes. Also, I mentioned this on Four Color Commentary, but I mentioned it here too. I saw Justice League. Was not as bad as I thought. Wasn't great.
All right.
Not as bad as I thought. That's going to be my review for it.
Well, as bad as I thought.
At the very end, Ryan. At the very end, Ryan. There's like this Lois Lane monologue where she's and now the heroes have come
Amy
out
Adams,
of hiding.
She might be the best actor in that movie.
Yeah, she might be. But now she's like, the heroes have come out of hiding. They're not being in the shadows anymore. We're seeing them. At the very end of the movie, it's clear like they mention the word hope. They provide us hope. Mm. I'm like, oh, so somebody at DC finally got the memo that superheroes are supposed to save and help people.
Joss Whedon.
You can definitely tell the Whedon influence on the movie.
Yeah, okay.
It's a happy medium mix of Zack Snyder and Whedon. Now, that being said, there's a lot of really bad things about the movie. Steppenwolf looks like garbage.
He looks
like a crappy PS2 video game character.
Nice.
He's like a walking crappy cutscene. It's like a walking PS1 cutscene. That's what it looks like.
Oh, PS1.
I mean, PS2. Okay, but it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And I'm like, I know they were trying to give him like the like dark side-y kind of rock looking face. But they do mention Darkseid in there.
Hey, that's cool.
There's Green Lantern rings. There's a Green Lantern ring.
Oh, really?
The guy's fighting. And yeah, they're mentioned about like Steppenwolf came to Earth. I'm spoiling it for you because you don't care. Steppenwolf came to Earth. And if you haven't seen it by now, you didn't care.
Dang.
Steppenwolf comes to Earth and he came to Earth a long time ago and the Amazons and the Atlanteans and they also show people like Hercules, like other like characters.
Yeah.
And they said, and we even had to get help from the stars, and they show like Green Lanterns, people with green rings shooting out power and stuff, and then one of them falls and the ring falls off his finger and just zips off and you're like, whoa. Well, there you go.
Lanterns are part of the
Lanterns are part of the thing now. And they also mentioned the name Darkseid.
Oh.
At one point, there's mother boxes in this movie.
Ooh, so everybody's got iPhones.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of like the way that they use mother boxes is almost like they're like this, almost like a terraforming thing.
Oh.
Like when you combine all them together, it can terraform the planet to make it like Apocalypse.
Oh.
That's kind of the premise behind it.
All right.
They don't use the term terraform, but essentially that's what it is. I mean, when the mother box, by the way, they do give credit to Jack Kirby for the Fourth World Saga in the credits. Right. I was like,
all right.
That's
good.
They do give credit where credit is due. There are boom tubes in this movie. They never call them that.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Because that would be dumb.
I would say, though, the reason Steppenwolf looks like garbage is probably because all the CG money got spent on two things. Number one, removing Henry Cavill's mustache.
I heard about that.
Which actually, a lot of people were saying, like, I guess I just didn't look close enough. I wasn't really, like, focused on his upper lip.
Yeah, the story is that DC or Warner Brothers offered to pay Paramount to CG a mustache on him.
Right.
And they said no.
No, no. As we can see, Paramount is very, very strict on their contractual obligations. what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, and the other CG money was spent on Cyborg. Because Cyborg actually looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Flash looked cool. He's got lightning all the time.
Flash's pretty good. Okay, Flash actually really annoyed me. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not talking about the
character.
He
looked cool, but he was like, I get what they were trying to do with him. He was supposed to be the, you know,
Spider-Man.
Funny, yeah, Spider-Man type character. Like, ooh, I'm young and I'm this and no. Like, oh, there's the bats. That's yours. That means we got to go. Like that joke. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, listen, I don't think it was that ineffective, but like I was pretty amazed. There's a scene where all these people are being like Steppenwolf being like where's the mother boxes or whatever, and he's like, I've never really helped, like I've never really done this before, I've only pretty much just like pushed people out of the way of things, like I haven't really like tried to help anybody. And Batman said something that it really took me by surprise, took my breath away, because I heard Batman say it. He goes, he looks at Flash and goes, just save one person. I'm like, wait, somebody at DC wants Batman to save people? He's okay with preserving human life?
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
I thought that he liked machine guns.
Yeah, well, he still did. Okay. There's still machine guns in the movie. Perfect. But I think he didn't
That's
feel
what
so
I want.
Bad.
I want Batman shooting as much
I mean,
things
he killed,
as
he's killing parademons. He wasn't killing people.
Sure.
You know? And the fight,
it's different.
They helped say, there's a really cute little, how much of this movie do you want me to spoil for
you?
Nah,
I mean,
right now?
Eventually I'll see it, so don't ruin the whole thing.
I mean, there's a cute joke about Superman with, Superman comes back, by the way.
Oh, what? He was gone?
Yeah, he died. At the end of Batman vs Superman.
Oh, well, spoilers.
Duh, did you figure he wouldn't be back for a movie called Justice League where there's logos on the poster?
Yeah, it's true.
There's a cute joke with between him and the Flash where it's like, oh, you go after, like, there's people trying to exit the area. We need to save them. Again, save people.
That's good. Hey.
And there's like, you go left and I go right. And then there's a cute little bit with it's, you'll see it. If you watch the movie, you'll see it. And you'll be like, ah, that's cute. Actually, I even chuckled a little bit. I was like, and then the little mid-credit sequence is actually pretty cute.
Oh, okay.
It's a comic homage that involves... It's a comic homage that involves the Flash and Superman. I bet you can take a guess.
I bet they race around the world.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice. That's cute.
Yeah, it was all right. It was okay. I think it's getting a lot harsher than it deserves. It's the second best DC movie, but again, if Wonder Woman is here, Justice League is like here.
It's like a foot apart.
Yeah. It's like a one-third as good as Wonder Woman, in my opinion.
I have a question for our listeners and for you.
Yes.
I'm talking to a couple of friends of mine who are dads that I went to college with, and we kind of, not all of us are Marvel guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them, he's doing a single dad weekend right now. And we started talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe because the Avengers trailer's out. He's like, yeah, I don't think I've seen any of those. And we're like, no, you have to have seen one or two of the Marvel movies. And in talking to him, he's like, yeah, I think I've seen Iron Man and Avengers. So what movie should he watch next?
Watch them in order.
Yeah, but so he's not going to watch all of them. Like, let's be real.
Okay.
He's got a weekend.
If he's going to watch any of them,
he's going to watch them after his kids go to bed.
Captain America's. I'll watch all the Captain America movies.
All right. Okay.
And...
he watched Doctor Strange because it was on Netflix.
Watch if he wants to stick with it.
He said it was weird.
If he wants to stick with it, watch all the Captain America movies. Alternatively, Guardians and Ant-Man.
Yeah, that's actually the first thing both of us recommended was you should watch Guardians.
Guardians is a good, like, if he's only going to watch one,
watch
Guardians. If he has time to watch only two, have him watch Guardians and Ant-Man. If he has time to watch three, have him watch all the Captain America movies. All
right, so Cap 1, Cap 2, and Civil War.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm interested to hear what our listeners say. Feel
or
free
if
to tweet
you just,
us
had a
at Super Action Bros.
If after the kids go to sleep, you just watch one every night, you're done in a month.
His wife's not going to be gone that long.
Well, I mean...
He's not a movie
watcher. Yeah, right, because girls don't like Marvel movies.
This,
right?
No, it's more like he doesn't watch movies. This is my friend who, I remember, we saw Lord of the Rings in the theaters, and then 6 months later, it came out on DVD. We're like, let's watch it again. He's like, nah, I saw it.
I know those people.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
I was like, yeah, but that was months ago. He's like, no, you guys can watch it. That's fine.
See,
I already saw it.
I have dated people like this. They're like, no, I saw that movie.
Yeah, he was my roommate.
Or it's
good friend from high school.
Our friend from our office, Mindy, has just started getting into the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And Star Wars, too. Mm. But she's like, oh, I watched Thor 3, and then I went back and watched Thor 1, and then I watched The Avengers. It's so frustrating to me. I'm just like, watch them in order. And she's like, I watched The Avengers 2, and then I haven't seen Avengers, but I watched Avengers 2. I'm like, what are you doing? It's episodic. And oh my God.
It's like if you watch Game of Thrones, like, oh, I watched like three episodes of season three.
She's done that. She's like, I watched back all of watching the first season, and then I didn't watch the other ones, and I just saw the most recent one. It's like, what's wrong with you? No, like that. It's I know, maybe it's just me. I know it's me. I know it's my
hang up.
I know
it
really
up,
is my hang up.
I mean, it's sort of annoying and frustrating to me, but I've gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, all right.
But the thing here's the thing. It wouldn't be annoying and frustrating to me if I didn't get questions about it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Fair. If you had watched them all in order, you'd know all the answers. Oh, the same thing. We were talking about Star Wars. She's like, I watched the prequels. I'm like, oh, and I made a joke. She's like, I was just kind of half watching them. I'm like, so you didn't watch the movies.
Oh, gosh. Not everybody has the amount of free time to just
I asked her. She was like, what ones do I need to watch for The Last Jedi? I said, watch the original trilogy and then watch Force Awakens. Yeah. She's like, oh, I'm going to watch prequels. I'm like, have you seen the original trilogy? Yeah, when I was a kid. You should watch the you should watch the original trilogy because I know what's going to happen. I know I'm going to see the movie and she'll probably go see it and then I'll get questions. Well, why would this happen?
All right.
Because you should have watched Empire and Return of the Jedi again.
Don't ask Mindy. Me any questions about movies you should have seen.
No, I love Mindy. I'm happy that she's like, she kept texting me over and over like, oh my gosh, there's this and oh, what's going on here?
I can't believe that's his dad.
Should I watch Rogue One? And I literally at one point just went, in order to watch The Force Awakens, you need to watch the original. In order to watch Last Jedi, you need to watch the original trilogy and Force Awakens. The prequels and Rogue One are optional viewing. And that's what I ended it at. She's like, oh, but do I do
it? That's a fair way to put it.
No. This is what you need to know. And it's funny because I was wearing my Rebel hat the other day at work. Yeah. And I was like, oh, you should know what this is. And she's like, no.
I mean, that doesn't really come up.
And I was, that's what I said. Didn't you watch like Force Awakens? Because you said you were going to. She's like, oh, no, I didn't watch it. Oh, no, man. I'm like, the one that's most important to the one that comes out in 2 weeks and you didn't watch it yet.
2 weeks.
I guess that's the thing. This is the thing. People don't put as much importance on movies as you and I do. That's why I'm happy we have this podcast.
That's why we do this podcast.
Because I don't know
other
anybody
people
who
can
puts,
listen to us and say, at least I'm not like that guy.
But then we can look at those people and be like, at least we're not like that person.
You can.
Anyway, so thank you guys for joining us for the Italian Job. It's going to wrap us up for this episode of Super Action Bros. But before we go, we want to give you a preview of the movie we're watching next time. We're kind of bleeding into December. We don't really have a name for December. We're only going to do a couple episodes. Ryan actually is in a stage production of a Christmas Carol with his daughter. So there's a lot of
stuff. Singing and dancing. Yeah, and if you're in Southern California, hit me up if you want to come see me make a fool of myself.
But because of that, Christmas is going to be a little bit shorter this year, the holiday month of December. So we're going to watch our next movie, which is going to end out this month. We're kind of going to bleed it over in the next month, Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a gift to, it kind of works. It's kind of a gift to Ryan because he loves Edgar Wright and has not seen this movie, which I would argue is Edgar Wright meets Fast and Furious. So you're going to like it. And then after that, we're figuring it out, but I think we might have a special guest on who we've had in past years who she always brings interesting movies for us to watch.
Interesting is a lie. She brings terrible movies.
She does bring terrible. What did we watch last week?
We watched Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, but what did we watch? Didn't we watch something after that? What did we do last year?
Last year, didn't we do the prequels? No, that was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
I don't know. Somebody else knows. I guess I could look it up.
Anyway,
a spreadsheet
so
we might.
So just to give you a kind of a plan for the next month, so you're not like, where did those guys go? So now you know what's going on. But next time, though, get ready. We're gonna watch Baby Driver, which is gonna be awesome. And Ryan has not seen it, and I'm really excited to have him watch it. I'm the only person other than Matt I know in this house who has watched Baby Driver. I'm really excited. I might even try to get Chewie to do it and maybe see if he wants to come on. We'll see.
Oh, last year we watched action movies picked by our family members.
Yeah, we did. And what did she pick?
She was the one who picked Dante's Peak.
Right. Yes, she did. All right. So that is going to do it for Super Action Bros. Thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy us next time when we watch Baby Driver. And remember,
whether it's Blockbuster
or Lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.